Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
I'm back.
Oh yeah, we're all back. I'm Morgan Nickel, big mouth dickhead from the internet.
And I'm Dylan Reeve, rational sidekick.
Yeah, that's pretty much accurate. So we have had a bit of a mare trying to sort out a guest this week, and so we haven't got any. We've spoken to four people.
No one wants to do it
this week.
Or actually, no, probably they're all just too busy.
Well, really, that's it.
Love to do it.
Yeah. Well, everyone that actually answered was keen, just not available. It's just the way it works sometimes, I guess.
Terrible.
So we're going to just, roll it old school. We're going to roll it the way that people didn't like.
Did they not?
Oh, I don't know.
We haven't done a detailed sort of listener survey.
No, I don't really do stats anyway. No, we've done no survey ever, and I mean, we'd get no responses anyway, so what would be the point?
Tell us what you like, you bastards.
It's basically a monologue, or, it's a two-party monologue, but no response. That's why I'm not saying dialogue, because they don't really talk back. I mean, the chat room talks back, but not tonight. Tonight we haven't even got a chat room. There's two people in there, and I'm one of them, and even I'm away.
I'm not one of them.
So
there's so much stuff that's going on that's interesting that I don't know about you, but that I know fuck all about. There's TPP.
Yeah.
There's the whatever the one is, the anti-cyberbullying act thing.
Yeah.
There's the whole chorus whinging bollocks.
And we had excellent guests for each of those subjects.
And none of them are available.
None of them are available.
So we could either try to address them by talking out of our asses, or we could just ignore them for the moment and hope that sometime in the relatively near future we'll find someone to talk to us about those things that knows what it is they're talking about.
Fingers crossed.
Let's do the second thing.
Oh, you do want to do the talking out your ass, or you want to do the whole
thing? No, the second thing was the wait.
Oh, I wasn't really listening.
Yeah, I was talking out my ass.
All right. Hey, so I've got an idea.
Poorly considered and unexpected segment.
It's called Finish the Headline. I'm doing it again because it went so well last week.
It really did.
Dylan? Christchurch cop.
What?
That's the beginning of the headline, and you need to finish it.
Christchurch cop.
Christchurch cop.
Christchurch cop pulls over motorist for speeding.
Oh, if only. Christchurch cop pleads guilty to referee assault.
I was very close.
Yeah, you were really close. All right, so I've got another one.
Okay.
Actually, no, I'll tell you a little bit about it. Shall I tell you a little bit about it?
I don't know. How's this game work? Should we try another variant on it and see if that one works better?
So he was described by the judge as a spectator from hell, and he was discharged without conviction for grabbing the referee's throat during his son's football match. He was off duty at the time, and he's got...
Oh, this is the same story with a different headline?
This is the same story with no different headline. I haven't told you a different headline.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Oh, did you think I was trying to get you to come up with a headline for it?
Yeah, wasn't that it?
That wasn't it. No, that was Christchurch cop pleads guilty to referee assault.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I thought you were doing another story, and you were telling me something about the story before you made me guess the headline.
Yeah. Right. No, not this time. So the next title.
Yeah. Okay.
The next headline. Police officers.
Plead guilty to referee assault.
No. Police officers' victims urged to come forward.
Oh, I actually read this story. It's fucking horrific.
Possible, it is fucking horrific. Possible further victims of a crooked Christchurch cop are being urged to come forward after the former senior officer admitted sex and corruption charges. And since then, Assistant Police Commissioner some fuckwit was on Radio New Zealand with no grasp of the facts to say that it sounded like there are up to seven other complainants. He couldn't actually come up with a number, but I'm extrapolating that from the... criminal charges. It is an ongoing thing. If this dude, oh my God, what a creep. He's such a creep. So these are the police that women are expected to go to
be fair,
for help.
This is one dude.
Oh, if only it was one dude, Dylan.
Well, no, but this specific instance is one dude, and we have many more examples of cops not doing this. The question is, and what we'll find out eventually, is whether other cops knew and didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And that's the bigger issue. Because obviously, once the police have found out, they seem to have conducted their process pretty well.
So in 2007, a woman complained and signed an affidavit against him, and the police investigated and decided that they didn't have sufficient evidence to proceed. Now, that might be entirely true. Sexual assault charges are always difficult. It's almost always he said, she said. Almost always. Mm. Somehow, even in those circumstances, they still managed to charge people who aren't police. Somehow.
Yeah, but they also managed to not charge a lot of people who aren't police as well. I mean,
most of the people they don't charge are the ones who are never brought to the attention of the police, because women know that the police are not going to be helpful.
Not everyone who has an affidavit signed against them, has an accusation made against them, ends up being charged.
Oh, I'm sure that's true.
You know, there is a.
I just think it's no good that it was police officers who investigated this complaint, or who investigate all complaints against police officers.
Well, this wasn't. But I mean, was it a criminal complaint or a police complaint? Because I would assume.
Well, how can you make a criminal complaint against a police officer without talking to the police? Well, of course, it's a police complaint.
Who else would investigate a criminal complaint against a police officer?
Well, what we need is a properly independent body that isn't staffed by police officers, because the IPCA. Even if it's headed by non-police, its investigators are police.
Yeah, no, I agree that the IPCA
the police
is not nearly
should
high
be
enough.
Fucking terrified of the IPCA. Now, a lot of false complaints are made against police officers, though. You know, there's no question about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
Because they deal with criminals all day, every day. People who lie for a lifestyle.
They're in a job where they're likely to attract accusations.
Yeah, and there are some behaviours that are... you know, probably necessary of police officers under some circumstances that in most other jobs would not be all right. You know, sometimes they actually need to use physical force much more often than anyone else.
Yeah.
But it seems like there's a lot of stories lately about the police being thugs and the police saying, oh no, there's no culture problem. It's just one bad apple. But there are so many one bad apples, Dylan.
I'm not saying that, but I hate these situations where... The police is a huge organisation, and a lot, I'm sure the majority of them are not even remotely bad apples.
We
shouldn't just get away with the one bad apple thing, we also shouldn't necessarily tar them all with the bad apple brush.
But they actually are all responsible, because there is this band of brothers mentality where they close ranks.
Well, that's the question. I mean, I don't know if there is. Is there? I mean, like I say, there certainly is groups within the police, but I don't think the police in New Zealand have the same sense of that as some of the overseas forces.
Yeah.
I know, you know, the NYPD, for example, has been notorious for that in almost all levels.
Yeah.
But I've never seen any indication that the New Zealand police are like that. I've never heard any stories of cops being essentially run out of the force for standing up for being not a dickhead.
All right, well, I've got a long list of stories that I could probably share with you about police.
I'm not saying that the police are beyond reproach, but I hate these situations where we end up, especially an organisation like the police, which, you know, have a really important role to play, where we end up vilifying all of the police and the entire organisation.
Well, they're all responsible, responsible.
I don't think that's fair.
Why not?
I don't think that's a reasonable thing to say. I think you can't say that there aren't problems, but I don't think it's as simple as they are all responsible. And I don't think that it's beneficial to anyone to say that.
But they are responsible for upholding the law.
Of course they are.
And they police us, but they don't seem very good at policing themselves.
Well, they
were told that they have a serious cultural problem, and they didn't seem to make significant changes. Not by the public. But what's her name? It was Bazley, I think. The Bazley Commission or something. That's what it was called, right? Bosley? Bazley?
Probably not.
Anyway, so I've got another headline for you.
Good.
Call for stronger alcohol.
Finish
the headline.
Consumption within the police.
This one's not really about police. Call for stronger alcohol warnings.
Right.
Strong warning labels should be placed on all beer, wine and spirits as part of a plan to stop pregnant mothers from drinking, MPs say.
No.
So what pregnant mother hasn't heard the message that she shouldn't be drinking while pregnant?
It's interesting because it's the sort of thing that gets brought up very frequently every time you visit a doctor while you're pregnant, having visited doctors with a pregnant person. Mm. So I don't. Yeah, it's not an uncommon message, and I think anyone that gets to looking at the bottle, is already choosing not to adhere to the message. They haven't not heard it. It's not like they're unaware of it.
So the messages didn't appear to do anything on cigarette packets, and that is more obviously harmful.
I thought there was some evidence that they had some impact, but not nearly as much as they could have.
Not nearly. And those were much harsher than it sounds like this.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you'd put on it. Like pictures of deformed babies. Not necessarily. That's even.
I don't really need to see that on my beer because I mean I'm not pregnant.
Only on girly drinks.
I happen to quite like girly drinks. Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe we could. So like on the cigarette packets, there were a range of warnings. Like for what the fuck was that?
That was me knocking something off my desk. Don't worry about it. Carry on.
It's not the drinking. It's how we're drinking, Dylan. So on the cigarette packets, there are warnings like this: these things cause stroke, or these things cause harm in your unborn child, or these things cause lung cancer, or these things will just fuck your mouth up, or whatever. So on booze, they could be like, a drink might make you a fuckwit, or a drink doesn't make you a better driver. There could be all kinds of different warnings.
Or this drink could make your night much more fun.
Yeah.
This drink will probably make you pee.
Yeah. As soon as you tap the seal.
Yeah. It's all over.
So Bill English says,
this drink will be good for the first half a bottle, but after that you won't really want to finish it.
Oh, I hate those ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of beer that's like that. Basically, as long as it's cold and you can't taste it, it's good.
Yeah.
Oh, that means you might as well have had a glass of water. Frankly, there's a lot of beer like that. Most of it made by...
Is anyone selling alcoholic water yet?
Like sports water, but booze water.
Yeah, but with booze, because you can get caffeinated water.
Yeah.
So I like, and you know, you can get alcohol every drink known to man.
Can you?
So why not alcohol water? You can get, you know, you can get premixed alcohol and all, basically all sort of style of soft drinks. You can get like premixed alcohol and I think some juices.
Mm. Like a gimlet or a screwdriver. You probably can
get. Yeah, you can get premixed screwdrivers.
And of course you can get boozy milk.
Yeah.
Maloko.
I'm putting that out there free for someone to come up with.
$1 million idea.
Sell us some boozy water.
So Bill English says that he doesn't expect more assets. Doesn't expect more asset sales after the current round because there's little left which is suitable. That's because they're selling the crown jewels.
That New Zealand thing is amazing.
It's disgusting.
It is. John Key did literally say on Thursday, didn't he, that they weren't preparing in New Zealand for further sale.
That's right.
Did he say that?
Yes.
And then on Monday, they sold 20%?
Yes.
Man, they were busy on Friday and through the weekend.
Yeah, they are cynical, lying scumbags.
It's interesting. I'm sure, like, as much as I think the referendum is pointless, and I really do think the referendum is pointless.
Well, it's non-binding.
Well, no, not even that it's non-binding, that it's self-selecting. The only people who are really going to bother voting are the people who have a really, really strong interest one way or the other, and most people...
Isn't that all democracy in New Zealand?
Yeah, well, to some extent, but...
To an entire extent. We don't have mandatory voting in New Zealand.
No, of course we don't have mandatory voting, but even if, you know, it's never such a single issue. So, you know, with voting, at least you're voting on a broader range of issues, and people have strong feelings about some parts of it, or feel that they need to participate. But for something like this, I think... People who support it may not bother to vote because it's largely happened anyway.
Yeah.
People who are opposed will obviously make a large effort to vote because they really want it to be known that they're opposed.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I think we're going to get a massively skewed result. I think that regardless, the result's going to be in the majority of negative, but I think it's going to be massively skewed from what an actual non-self-selected survey would reveal. However, I'm fairly certain if you did survey the population... And and ask them specifically about various state-owned entities.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Air New Zealand would be less popular as a sale than power companies.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, seems so successful and quite good.
And only because it got bailed out. It was fucked.
Yeah.
It was in the shit, and it is the national flag carrier.
Well, and I've also seen it said that
and one it's of the profitable.
One of the reasons that Air New Zealand has managed to be so successful is because it hasn't had the pressure from private shareholders to behave in a, you know, to be more perhaps financially
dividend
conservative.
Dividend.
Yeah, exactly.
Dividend.
They've had more freedom to operate in what they believe is a better long-term strategy.
Not that the government isn't like that, of course. I mean, just look at TVNZ, the poor bastards. Dividend. I mean, they need money and they have to pay a dividend. That's got to be hard to deal with. So I find the idea of binding referenda a pretty terrifying one because people are wrong about so many things.
Well, but it's this thing where you get these people who say the recall elections. I don't know if you saw the Daily Show recently. There was a state governor, I think, recalled over some stuff.
Yeah.
And all the polls said the majority of people actually supported his continuing to be governor. I think it was governor or senator. Anyway, he got recalled. But the point is, of course, the people who organized the recall election were much more motivated to vote than those who didn't feel motivated. And it's, you know, as we know from having worked in situations where we are customer facing and where we receive customer feedback, people are far more motivated by negative ideas than positive ones.
Yeah.
So they're much more motivated to vote against something than for it.
And older people are more likely to vote than younger people, and older people skew right. And I wonder if mandatory voting should come back.
Did we have mandatory voting at some stage?
I think once upon a time. I mean, I don't think we ever had 100%, though. I think it was just, you know, up in the 90s instead of in the 40s to 60s, which is what we've got now. Anyway, so in citizens' binding referenda seems scary. But maybe on things like marijuana legalization, we could do something like that. You know, have it as part of the big general election and have a question like that be a key thing. Like, here is the new law, and you can read it if you want. This is what they do in the States.
Yeah.
And you can. This is the law that will be passed if this referendum gets over whatever percentage is decided. It could be just a simple majority. It could be, you know, some ratio of supermajority. If this gets that, this bill will be passed into law.
So the what are they called? The Colin Craig Party, the Conservative Party.
Yeah.
One of their core tenets is binding referendum.
It's a scary idea, and generally speaking, though. A binding referendum on a question is dangerous because you're not actually saying what the law would be. And look back at that question we got in 1998 or whenever.
Well, so to their credit, they want the questions to be phrased in a more simple and neutral way.
But that doesn't tell you what the law will be.
No, of course. But they want a simple yes-no proposition, and they want binding in cases of a two-thirds majority, so 66% over 33%.
Right.
Which is not as irrational as some approaches to the concept, but I still just hate the idea.
Yeah.
I hate the idea of direct democracy. It seems like a good idea in theory, but no. I don't think it is in practice.
No, definitely not. No, you need like a council of geniuses select on merit somehow.
Well, you need to pay people to do their jobs and actually look at the law. Unfortunately, we start to get, I think, politics in New Zealand is starting to follow, you know, American trends where decisions on legislation are made less by reasonable, you know. I mean, clearly they've always been driven by policy and by ideology, but I think they're always. I think that legislation in New Zealand used to be slightly more pragmatic. I think now it's more point scoring, red blue team, rah rah rah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a benefit.
Yeah.
I don't think it's making anything better. Still, we're not as retarded as the States, so yay.
Yay, well, that's something at least. Next story is, so Anna Guy wants Ewan McDonald to serve his full sentence behind bars.
Okay, sure.
So, of course, he was acquitted of the murder that he committed. You know, obviously.
That's right. He ended up being charged with what, like vandalism and arson?
Yeah, like arson and something to do with the all those animals that he like hammered to death.
All right.
He hammered like 20 calves to death or something, right? He's obviously is a fucking terrifyingly dangerous man. And my opinion is that he so clearly did the murder. I mean, there's just no one else. I mean, there isn't even a Robin Bain to pin it on, right? and so he's only got 5 years for those other crimes, but that'll have to do. And I don't know if the parole board are allowed to take anything like that into account. I mean, they wouldn't say it out loud, of course, but wouldn't it be cool if he served, 5 years to the day? You know, because that would be sending a very clear message that they know. Come on. We all know. We just couldn't prove it sufficiently highly. And it's just a shame he only got 5 years for, his fucking terrifying crimes. I mean, who bludgeons animals to death with a hammer under the cover of night? Creepy motherfuckers do. Really dangerous creepy motherfuckers do. What a dick.
So he's eligible for parole from December? Is that right? No. He's already been... When did he first become eligible for parole?
Well, I don't imagine that the parole board would be meeting with him if it wasn't possible.
No, I'm sorry. He was first eligible for parole in December 2012.
Right.
So this will be his, I guess, his second or I don't know how often you get to be considered for parole, but he's been eligible for parole for a year now.
Yeah, well, yeah, I hope he doesn't get it. I hope he doesn't get it.
Time will tell.
Bad dude. So this whole Pike River thing, some people were calling for the government to compensate the families of the miners and contractors who died in the mine disaster. And I don't really understand why. So the government was responsible for inspecting and regulating mines, but they didn't make those mines dangerous. They just didn't inspect them sufficiently. I'm not sure that they are responsible. I think the people who are responsible is the private company or companies that operated the mine.
Yeah, although those companies have gone out of business, haven't they?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of too bad. I don't believe it's my job to pay out everyone for every bad thing that happens. ACC will cover injuries, but we don't have life insurance from our government. And I'm not sure why anyone expects it. If you want life insurance, you actually need to pay for that, and you don't pay the government for that. So I'm not really clear on why this is an issue which is being used to beat this government with. And I mean, I'm obviously no fan of this government, so I wouldn't be saying this if it wasn't, a sincere view. It's strange to me that the families think the government should give them money. I mean, and the government will give them money if they're facing financial hardship, just like the government will give anyone in that position money. We have a welfare system. So I don't understand why these people should get more than that. I mean, it doesn't feel like they're entitled.
No, and well, it's interesting. It does sort of open up a, if that makes them liable for that, then what other things are they do? They end up being liable for people's deaths on the road where situations have been perhaps, not properly identified beforehand or something?
Actually, and that's an interesting point. I mean, so they are responsible for, regulating the mines, but they're also responsible for regulating murders and burglaries.
That's true. It's their job to not let those things happen.
So should everyone be paid out? I mean, my bicycle got stolen. I think the government should give me money or a new bike. And I feel traumatized. But of course, they shouldn't. They should just investigate in the form of, you know, the police. And they haven't investigated, of course. But if a bike turns up, they'll check if it's mine and maybe they'll give it back. But probably not. They won't give me money for it. That's for damn sure. My private insurance that I pay for will give me money for it as soon as I tell them about it.
You could try.
Yeah, maybe I should start a campaign in the press. See what political mileage the Labour Party can get out of promising me a new bike after the election. They might do that.
I think they would. I'm pretty sure that would work for them. I'd vote for them.
Speaking of the Labour Party. So anyway, the Labour Party has promised to pay some compensation.
Buy you a new bike?
No, to pay some compensation to the families of the victims of the Pike River accident.
Okay.
Apparently $110,000 per family.
Okay.
That's that. So also, David Cunliffe has appointed someone called Simon Cunliffe.
What?
As his chief press secretary and media director. And it's weird that people are making hay out of this because it's not like a crown appointment. It's not like what the National Party have done, appointing their cronies to various boards and committees and so on around the government. This is a party appointment. So it's weird.
There's a big thing about a Labour MP renting an office of her mother the other day.
Oh, yeah, that's sketchy. Yeah, I don't like the sound of that.
It's not, though.
It's an entitlement, but it is sketchy. Just because it's legal doesn't mean that it's ethical, and they should behave ethically.
The National Party owns offices that it rents from itself.
Yes, and that seems sketchy to me as well. And there were lots, and Keith Ng's data mining on the real estate and trust shenanigans that found lots of National Party members with a bunch of undeclared stuff going on, right? But and they are legally entitled, but that doesn't mean they should be doing it.
I don't know. Like, what's the alternative in this situation? In this case, the Labour MPs in the area were renting an office in this building before the woman in question bought it, who was a former Labour MP.
Why did she buy it?
Hmm?
Why did she buy it?
Because she wanted to, and there were people renting offices in it. I guess, you know, it's a business thing.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, she owns it now.
Interesting coincidence.
Should they not pay?
You don't think it feels sketchy? You don't think it smells a bit?
No problem with it.
You don't think it smells?
Like, apparently the requirement is from parliamentary services, when there is a relationship between the MP and the tenant, landlord, they require a proper estimation of market rent in the area.
Yeah.
To assure that, you know, there's no overpayment.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it. People, you know, people invest in property and people rent property of people they know, and, you know, it happens.
Well, I don't know who has oversight over this. I guess it's like, well, it's not parliamentary services, but it's some fucking commissioner, I guess. And no, they don't have a problem with it either. So, you know, it's legal.
I thought I had a problem with, like, because apparently the Labour Party actually, I think, owns a couple of offices that their MPs rent from them as well. And so does the National Party. And I thought I had a problem with that, and then I thought about it, and I don't really, because the National Party isn't responsible. Like, once someone's elected as an MP, the National Party isn't responsible for paying their bill, you know, for paying their bills. At that point, the government pays for that person's operation as part of their being an MP.
Yeah.
So if the National Party owned the office and then didn't collect rent on it when that person was an MP, then the National Party is effectively paying part of that person's official MP operation, which I don't think is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if they then want to keep that person as...
Oh, God, this is boring. No, I've lost interest. Sorry, Dylan.
It seemed pointless.
You've killed the story.
Pointless, beat up.
Boring, boring. So you know who's not boring? This is a complete... No, you are boring.
Oh, fuck you.
Marissa Meyer. She's the CEO of Yahoo. And she is fucking amazing. I just wanted to say that.
Okay.
I can't believe how good she is.
What does Yahoo do these days?
Well, they own Tumblr. And they own Flickr. Yeah.
No, they don't own Tumblr.
Yeah, they bought Tumblr.
No.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
When?
Like last year or earlier this year.
I thought Twitter owned Tumblr.
What? No.
Don't they?
No. Yahoo owns Tumblr. Marissa Meyer announced, in fact, that they are going to do all this internal encryption stuff of all their data. You know, obviously over the whole NSA thing. She announced that on the official Yahoo Tumblr.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
30 minutes.
Anyway, she is cool. I'm a big fan of Marissa. Who knew?
She also designed their logo, so, you know, that's a thing.
Yeah, I saw that. It was just a little bit of tweakage. Do they still have the exclamation mark?
Oh, who knows?
Do you say exclamation mark or exclamation point?
I would say mark, usually. Usually.
Because I think it's a point. Is it a point? I mean, it's a question mark. Is it an exclamation point?
I think they could be used interchangeably.
You know what's really good is an M dash.
I do like a good M dash.
M dashes are great. Why, when would you use an M dash versus an N dash?
No, there's actually, I've got the, if I could find my my AP style guide around here, it would tell me, but I can't remember where the fuck that is.
So the Air New Zealand shares, they were estimated to go for, they estimated to make what, like $280 million or something, and they ended up making $365 million. So compared to...
Hey, that's amazing. They did something useful. Yeah. They finally sold something properly.
Great work.
Yay.
I guess doing it so quickly that Labour and the Greens couldn't curse it. Like they cursed the power companies. But I mean, it's a very different matter because, you know, it's not like it's a new listing.
It was
it's
incredibly,
just
incredibly quick and so cynical in doing so.
It's gross. Right when, I mean, I think that the referendum letters have probably started being mailed out and and one of the companies explicitly named is Air New Zealand.
Yes.
It's fucking disgusting, actually. Just, I mean, wait a month. Gross. So gross. So superbug resistant bacteria. I mean antibiotic resistant superbugs. Superbug resistant bacteria. What does that even mean? What it means is I'm having scrumpy tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. A Wellington teacher who contracted this bacteria in Vietnam, perhaps, and came back here for surgery. And was then found to have KPC-OXA48, which is a very catchy name, resistant to every antibiotic. Everything. Everything they tried on him didn't work. Now, he didn't actually die of the antibiotic. He died of a stroke. But they say that he was weakened by it, and so maybe it had some part. But this is fucking terrifying. And so for a long time, you know, we've been told that it's because we don't take our antibiotics right and it's because doctors prescribe too many antibiotics. But it turns out something like 80% of the antibiotics that are used in industrial farming. So fuck those guys.
Is that
They're the ones that have...
That's not the case in New Zealand, though, is it? We don't actually put antibiotics
in. Well, we don't do that much industrial farming.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, good point.
You know, our cows tend to be on grass where they don't and they don't get they don't get force fed sugar.
Yeah.
So they don't really need the antibiotics quite so much. I guess our battery hens probably get antibiotics.
No, though. I'm pretty sure that's different. I'm pretty sure antibiotics are definitely not allowed in chickens because I don't even think they're allowed in chickens in the States.
You reckon?
Yeah, something I don't know. Anyway,
that might be wishful thinking.
I know there's some growth hormones and things.
Yeah.
In chicken, but I don't. Fairly certain there isn't in.
Anyway, it's fucking scary, eh? I mean, just the idea that, you know, you could touch some surface and get some shit in your skin that then, you know, it can't be treated. I mean,
it's pretty rare though, but there's also
it's
like,
rare so far.
It is, and but
it's,
you know,
a relatively new problem that is guaranteed to increase.
There are plenty of other things that can also, you know, strike us down incurably.
Yeah, but most of the things that have been striking us down for a lot of our history were infections, Dylan. And now we've sorted them out.
But there's also plenty of viruses and lots of other ways. You know, there's no point. Like, it's good. We can try and reduce the issue, but there's no point getting too worried about it when we've got all these other things that face us as well. I don't.
Hey!
I'm saying personally, on a personal level, you shouldn't worry about being struck down by an antibiotic.
Oh, I mean, I'm not really worried that it's going to happen to me myself, but it's going to happen to more and more people. Now, statistically, it's not going to be me. It's probably going to be you, though.
Okay, probably.
Too many kids, Dylan. They're Greebly factories, really, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely.
And they will probably be carriers, and we'll all be turned into shuffling dead. God, it would be terrifying. Wouldn't that be terrible if the zombies rose and instead of getting to enjoy it, I was one of them? Oh, God, I'd be so fucked off. I'd actually do my best to kill the living.
Thanks.
Maybe that's why they do it. Maybe it's a very rational response. So okay. Yep, so yep. This week's Walking Dead. Well, what's your only been taught? No, it's too many. It's too spoilerish. There's a problem with this week's Walking Dead, though.
Do you know, I've been watching Homeland. Have you watched Homeland?
Yes, but I haven't watched probably like the last three.
Okay, but there's a whole thing going on in Homeland at the moment, and it's bothered me about other shows I watched as well, Scandal and things.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much Scandal. Homeland, definitely, though. There's a whole lot of, you know, twists and turns and people watching people and people not being who they say they are and all sorts of stuff like that. And yet people will still, like, Carrie will wander around in her home happily talking on her cell phone.
Yeah.
Like, and she's not concerned that her house might be bugged.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. Like, that stuff just... It seems peculiar to me how willing they are to just talk about these things in the open where... they don't know that their environment is secure.
Yeah. And given that she would have had to have been in a bunch of these PowerPoint presentations that we've kind of seen the details of, that spoke about how prevalent the surveillance is, you know, you'd think that she'd be a little bit more careful. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, like, there could be a microphone hidden anywhere in that room and you're just talking on your... Well, sure, it's your burner cell phone that you've got hidden in there that no one knows you've got, but still... they can hear one side of your conversation if they just have a microphone in your house.
Speaking of burners, I've changed back to telecom.
Oh, yeah. Why so?
Well, I like what they've done with the Wi-Fi.
Oh, no, hang on. You'd already changed back to telecom, hadn't
no,
you?
No, I did it. I did it this morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I haven't put the new... I had a
were
SIM
you,
already.
You were not on contract with Vodafone?
Nah.
You were prepaid?
Yeah.
You got on contract with telecom or
prepaid? Nah. Prepaid. These $19 deals... are about 35 times better than like the $60 deals of 10 years ago.
Yeah, sure.
I guess you would, if you don't have a phone, I guess, like if you want to pay $2,500 for your phone, but not today, if you want to pay $2,500 like over the next 2 years, then I guess contract's cool. But if you just want to pay like $700 for, you know, a top of the line phone, and then, you know, $20-ish a month, why would you get a contract?
Don't know.
You'd have to be a fucking sucker, honestly, and the chat room. Like, the chat room has said approximately three things tonight. Almost Human is good. Mm-hmm. The court says that the company had to pay out, and that's the Pike River thing.
Yeah.
And contracts are for suckers.
Okay.
That's what the chat room has said tonight. Contracts are for suckers. Now, if you needed to make like 500 minutes of calls on a cell phone every month, like if you're a, I didn't even know who needs to do that. No one needs to do that. But if you think you need to do that, then you need to be on a contract. You need to be paying your stupid like $180 a month for your fucking phone. What sort of an idiot would do that? Anyway, there are a bunch of people out there who do it. And man, seriously, learn to text or get
some. I pay $40 a month and I get like 1.5 gigs of data in 300 minutes or something. I don't really think about it. It's just right. Easy.
Right.
So, and I just set up an AP and it all gets paid. I don't care.
Yeah. 300 minutes. When's the last time you used more than 10?
May never have.
So I used to really like the Best Mate. You know, the Best Mate, where you pay an extra $3 or whatever.
Or I get a Best Mate. Maybe I do.
Mm. And then you get unlimited calls and texts to one person. And, like, the first month, it was awesome. And I called her, you know, pretty much, you know, all the time. Every time I had a thought that normally you'd send an IM or a text for, I was like, ring. Which must have been extremely disruptive. And then after that, it was like fucking 3 minutes a month or something. And, you know, the normal sort of 100-ish text. And when even prepay people on the littlest thing get, you know, I think essentially unlimited texts, more or less.
Unlimited texts.
And I think I get, I don't even know how many minutes I get. But
if you pay $19, if you're on the $19 data pack, you get 100 minutes, unlimited texts, and 500 megabytes of data.
Right, and that's... more than I need on all fronts.
And you also get $2 one-hour calls to up to 30 of their top calling destinations.
More than I need on all fronts for $19. So, I mean, I just don't know why you wouldn't do that.
No one knows.
Don't know why you wouldn't do that. But, I mean, there must be people where it is actually useful. There must be people. I don't know, though. You should think about how you're running your business. Because who even calls people anymore?
My father does a lot of phone calls, but that's because he's, you know, driving around a lot.
And old?
Out of the place.
Right. Is he still a carpenter?
Yeah, basically.
I guess carpenters probably, they are the contract people, aren't they?
Yeah, if your business relies on you being on the phone, if you're carpenters, people anyone in sales, you know, people who use the phone a lot, but we're not people who use the phone a lot. We don't need to talk to people.
No.
In fact, it's better that we don't.
Even when I was doing sales for my last business, I didn't do a lot on the on a cell phone. Because I worked out of an office.
Meat cleavers, you mind your phone?
Meat cleavers? I would do it through a website if I was selling meat cleavers. I'd sell 300 meat cleavers an hour and I wouldn't ever talk to anyone except my goddamn suppliers. And even them, I would just send them emails.
All right. Well, it's good. Going to work then.
I mean, who sells meat cleavers one at a time on the phone?
I'm just checking some websites for you.
That better be good god. Damn, made in Japan, like Cleaver, meat cleavers.
CLEAVER 4, number 4U, letter U.co.nz is available. So if you want to set that up.
No, I don't want that. I'll get the .nz though when it's available.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you get the .co.nz now, does it?
No.
Well, no, it doesn't give you any.
No.
Oh, never mind then.
I'm looking forward to that change. I'm changing everything, except that I'm probably going to then still keep my .co.nz and my .acs, and I might, do I even have some .org.nz's? I don't even know.
I have no NZ domain names because they're too expensive.
Really? I think I've got I have some. 9?
I have .coms, and I always feel a little bit ripped off when I have to pay more than $10 for one.
I think I have about 20 domain names.
Mm.
And they're all necessary. Every single one of them. And I dearly love them because a lot of thought has gone into all of them. More thought has gone into the names than into the products behind the names.
Well, naturally. Hey, Bitcoin.
Bitcoin.
I don't know anything about Bitcoin. Still don't really understand it. But every now and then I see this thing. Bitcoin, currently at $900.
You could.
Yesterday it was at $360. Yeah.
You could definitely make money on Bitcoin.
So here's the thing. I've got some credit in my PayPal account.
Yeah. Don't buy today.
Not much.
Don't buy today.
No, obviously. Not much credit in my PayPal account, but a little bit of credit in my PayPal account. And I was like, oh, maybe I can buy some Bitcoins. And I was like, how do I do that? Turns out you can't really buy Bitcoins with PayPal because it's very easy to reverse a PayPal transaction, but it is not easy to reverse a Bitcoin transaction.
Yeah.
So no one really wants to sell you Bitcoins with PayPal because you might just reverse the transaction. They prefer bank transfers.
Yeah, which doesn't feel sketchy at all.
I'm not going to buy any Bitcoins.
I need a Western Union money transfer, and then I promise I'll send you some Bitcoins.
I can't even afford a Bitcoin, just not even one.
Yeah. Well,
not
don't
a single
just
Bitcoin can I afford?
Don't buy today. Just don't buy today, because maybe it was 900 at one point today, but in 2 weeks it'll be 200. It'll be
It's been trending 100. Up pretty consistently, but it got pretty crazy today. It's, at some point, it was 900 today.
Okay, so it's of course. A trend is one thing, but it's so volatile.
Oh, it's incredibly volatile. You couldn't get more volatile.
Yeah. So, you know, it's...
There's various you know, day trading sites that deal with Bitcoin as well as their normal currencies.
Yeah.
And most of them have warnings on the Bitcoin pages saying, you know, this currency is very volatile.
Yeah.
What was it? Yeah, the high today was... Hang on, where are we? Oh, I've lost it now.
I remember thinking that they were really badly overvalued at about
$800. The last price was $700, so it's lost $200 today.
Yeah.
The low today was $530.
Yeah.
So that's like a 50% average for the day.
Yeah. So someone made out like a bandit today, and some people lost their shirts. So don't be the sucker.
I believe someone's saying that the Chinese are driving a lot of this.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe it's just because we blame the Chinese for things.
It's the Chinese. I blame them I believe they're partially responsible for our overheated property market.
Yeah, there you go.
But then a lot of people are partially responsible for it. So today I spent a little bit of time, this evening, looking through my Metafilter activity. Well,
Metafilter exists.
Yeah. Looking back through like my Ask Metafilter answers.
45 minutes.
It's really funny looking back. Like, I mean, I don't know how far back they go, but they go back, you know, a pretty long way.
Yeah, I joined Metafilter just before the September 11th, 2001.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I remember because then most of the information I was getting about 9/11 that day was coming from Metafilter.
Yeah. So I was using it at the same time, but I didn't join. And then I saw that like a big round number was coming up, and I was like, oh yeah, I'll try and get the big round number as my user ID number.
How'd that go for you?
Didn't get it.
Oh.
I can't even remember what the number was. 20,000, I think. And I didn't get it.
No, I'm sorry for you.
And I was like, oh, fuck this. I'm not going to fucking sign up for this shit site. And then I was like, oh, no, actually I am. And I'm like 26,000 or something. And they've got like 180,000 sign-ups now, something like that, which I think is really cool. My first answer is from August 2005. So I'd been lurking for at least 4 years. It's a great site. It used to be more useful than it is now, though. I mean, Twitter really serves the purpose that Metafilter used to me.
I'm trying to find out about myself on Metafilter. My number on Metafilter is 10,987.
Yeah.
And I joined on, that's in here somewhere, isn't it? September the 4th, 2001.
Right. First time I thought about joining up, I probably would have been about 14 or 15,000, something like that.
I've made 15.
Didn't you have a really low comments? Don't you have a really low slash dot number?
Yeah, 3,000 something.
If only that was worth something.
Sure it is. Maybe I'm sure there's someone somewhere who'd pay me for it.
No. Can you change your name? Is the number...
I think you can.
Yeah.
Oh, but I don't know. Like, I haven't visited slash dot. Well, now I'm doing it.
So it turns out that LG smart TVs log everything you watch and the file names on USB devices that you plug in, and they send them away to some website.
Great.
Which is very rude.
What do they do with them?
Who knows?
4279 is my slash dot number.
Wow.
I don't even know what users are getting now.
My ICQ number was 1713447, but I think that was my second number.
My ICQ number was 3764508. I know because it sounded like a Ponsonby phone number.
The founder of GoPro is a billionaire. The story about the initial creation of the device with, like, he made a film one that you just put on your wrist because it was convenient while you were surfing, and then you'd basically, it was like a disposable camera, but that strapped onto your wrist.
That's clever.
Very clever. And he sold them out of the back of his car. And now he's a billionaire and sells these amazing devices that virtually everyone has a handful of.
I don't have any. I'm very sad.
And two is not really a handful. And they're actually still much too expensive to really have a handful.
You couldn't hold more than two in your hands easily.
I reckon you could hold and aim four in one hand.
Okay. Yes, I can change my real name and my username. Maybe I can't change my username.
Change your name to Anonymous Dillard.
Hi, I'm sorry, I can't sell you my Slashdot account.
For some reason, I've got a story open for Google Glass.
No, just move on.
I don't know. Oh, what, I don't know why.
Guess what? Playing computer games doesn't do to children.
It doesn't make them violent.
It has no effect on behavior, attention, or emotional issues.
Do you
know how I know that?
Have you done a lot of personal study?
I have not. However, the University of Glasgow has studied 11,000 children over 10 years.
That's not statistically significant. That's only 11. Wait, did you say 1,000?
Yes.
But at least, you know, some number of them must have gone on rampages with knives and guns and murdered prostitutes and stole cars and drove them.
So.
No? Fuck. That's really inconvenient for a certain narrative, though, about how...
Neither television nor video games leads to attentional or emotional problems.
Some people just have emotional problems. I think that's the answer, isn't it?
I think it probably is. Some people are a little bit disturbed, and they're a little bit disturbed. Clearly, if violent video games caused those things, we'd have a lot of very, very violent people, because Grand Theft Auto sold a fuckload of copies.
Yeah.
Jason Gunn plays Grand Theft Auto 4.
Jason Gunn from the telly.
Jason Gunn from the telly. It's a hard thing to imagine, isn't it? Imagine Jason Gunn sitting in his lounge murdering prostitutes. Actually, no, that's also hard to imagine. He lives in Christchurch.
There is something about Christchurch men, be they police or travelling guys in white vans. They just have a problem with being violent and dangerous. Why is it Canterbury? Is it that wind that they've got? They've got some wind, right? They've got a prevailing wind that comes and it's like dry and warm or something, and it makes them all crazy. Is that the explanation?
Yes, that's what it is. That's exactly what
I can't even remember what it's called, that wind that they've got. I'd ask the chat room, but the chat room, the last thing the chat room said was buttcoin. Buttcoin. Thank you, chat room.
Buttcoin.
Buttcoin.
Yeah.
So Google say that prescription Google glasses are going to be coming sometime next year. But no, Google doesn't say that. Someone else says that, and it's not Google. And they've found a way to hack the Google Glass devices. Did you know that Google Glass doesn't fold? Like the frame doesn't fold?
I didn't know that. That's annoying.
Yeah. Fucking dumb, man.
It means you can't hook it into your t-shirt. You just have to wear it on your head.
Exactly. Yeah. It seems weird that they haven't made a prescription model. Just make it so it clips on to a bridge of any glasses. Wait, bridge? Is that the arm? Is that called? Where's the bridge?
No, because hasn't it got some stuff in the arm? And I don't think it could easily, but surely you can.
No, the body of it, I mean, could clip along the length. I don't mean just the bit at the front. Clips on, because I know the bit at the front is like it's just a prism and some sort of little tiny projector thing.
Well, maybe. Good luck.
Did you think I was suggesting that I was going to make it?
Yes, good luck doing it. No, good luck with that happening. Good luck with that happening. By the way, M dashes and N dashes.
Yeah.
There's dispute. But the Elements of Typographic Style, which is the unofficial Bible of the modern typographer, Robert Bringhurst recommends that dashes in text should be an N dash flanked by two spaces, so a space on each side. He says that is much less visually disruptive than the M dash with no space, which is the recommended style in books like the Chicago Manual of Style, because there is less tension between the dash and the characters at either side of it. So that's the N dash with a space each side provides less visual tension than an M dash with no spaces, which was the preferred style.
So where does this guy stand on period, space, space?
I don't know. The N dash should also be used to indicate ranges of numbers, such as 7 to 10 days, but in that circumstance, it is not flanked by spaces.
Yeah. Twitter has forced me to stop doing period, space, space. But I like period, space, space.
Why are we calling it period? We don't call it period.
Dot.
Full stop.
Full stop, space, space. Does that sound better than period, space, space?
Period's not a word that we use in New Zealand, though.
It's a bit American, isn't it? Yeah, it's a bit American. You know what else is American? So Polaris, who make things, off-road things, and they make quads as well. They've their newest one has airless tires with wheels that remind me visually a little bit of the smart wheels from Snow Crash.
I have no idea. I think it was
Snow Crash. but of course, they don't do the varying their diameter. Intelligently thing. They're just, wheels with a kind of hexagonal internal cells, visually externally exposed so you can see through it from the side. Anyway, they've advertised that these airless tires can withstand shots from 50 caliber rounds, which
it's asking for trouble, doesn't it?
It's apparently really important that you can do that when you're tootling around on a farm. Maybe you could put a lot of them around your body, because if someone is firing at you with a 50 caliber rifle, you're fucked, mate. And your wheels are going to be the least of your worries. But these wheels, they look so cool.
It's an unusual claim.
I'll post this into the chat room. Because why not? It's a Verge story, though. This week in Verge.
I didn't really find an Urban Dictionary word.
Do you want to try me anyway?
Well, I'll just keep clicking random until one comes up that I don't hate.
Public executions seen in 7 North Korean cities. Apparently about 80 people were executed earlier this month in 7 North Korean cities, but not in Pyongyang.
Because?
Don't know.
Okay. They built an amazing water park.
That's
the North Koreans.
That's very useful for you to point that out while I'm talking about 80 people being murdered in public, Dylan. It's really cool of you to introduce that aside. Apparently for the terrible crimes of, for instance, watching South Korean movies, they got executed for that kind of thing. Bag over the head and then machine gunned in a stadium.
Wow.
With thousands of people watching.
Why? Why?
So what's that about the water park, Dylan? It was very important that you tell me about it while I was talking about these public executions.
In North Korea, they opened a giant water park.
Well, why wouldn't you? Parade. Water parks are awesome.
Yeah, well, it is in North Korea, so you probably can't use it.
I might be able to.
Well, you might be able to, but yeah, I don't know.
I might even consider going to North Korea. That would be an interesting trip.
Everyone I've heard talk about going there has always said after the fact that it was kind of...
worse than expected?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. I would prefer Myanmar/Burma, actually. Actually, no, I want to go to Japan again. Fuck, Japan is just the most amazing place. The food there, Dylan. The food, Dylan. Dylan, the food.
I totally believe you.
It's so good. Everything is amazing in Japan, except the racism. Everything aside from the racism is amazing.
Word of the week.
All right, let me find the button. Urban Dictionary.
Urban Dictionary. Word of the week.
The food, Dylan.
You don't like this.
Oh, this better not be. This better not be wolf bag.
It is not that bad.
Yep.
The word, Morgan. And you probably actually know this one. I mean, I wouldn't expect you not to know it, frankly. But I'll try you anyway.
Yeah.
Clit stick.
Clit stick.
Clit stick.
Clit stick. Well, of course, everyone who has used an IBM ThinkPad knows what a clit stick is. I wouldn't call it a clit stick, though. I'd call it a clit commander. And that's it's the little red nubbin mounted inside the keyboard of ThinkPad laptops. It's the clit stick.
That is exactly correct. That is exactly what I was looking for. And you nailed it.
Thank you.
You nailed the clit stick.
Hey, 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 hey.
We've got a winner.
And it's me.
Clit Command is good, though. I like that.
Yeah, Clit Command is actually from one of those terrible Kevin Smith movies.
Jay
and Silent Bob Strike Back, maybe. I am the Clit Commander.
Term for someone who is considered to be a good sexual partner by females.
Yep. That's me. Wait, did he say plural?
Yes.
Oh, must have been a different guy.
Right.
Cleargear.com.
Cleargear.com.
So, this woman made an order, and apparently they didn't even deliver. And so she, reversed charges, or she, reversed PayPal. Funny you actually mentioned that. And then she put a complaint on ripoffreport.com.
Oh, okay. No, I know exactly what you're talking about now. Carry on.
And they charged her $3,500 as a fine.
Yep.
And they, I guess, sent her to debt collection or something, and they ruined her credit rating.
There's so much that's delightfully wrong with this story.
Yeah, there's a lot that's wrong with it. One of the things that's wrong is that when she was trying to follow their unreasonable demands, and she tried to go and take the bad review that she put on Ripoff Report, and they wanted to charge her $2,000 to change her Ripoff Report.
Wait, what? Who? What? Ripoff Report did?
Yes.
That's a ripoff.
Yes. Everyone's a scumbag in this story, except PopeHat.com.
So the, that was fantastic. The website in question had it as one of their terms, apparently, that they'd be fined for writing negative
comments. Not when she did it, though.
Yeah, not when she actually did the thing.
And it's not a term that is enforceable.
Well, no, you can't enforce a fine. There's no...
A government can fine people, but not a private company.
No.
Unless you're a brothel.
Okay.
2-1
See you next week. Have a good weekend.
You're listening to the weekly show on sorry. With course.
Right, we're using that one.
I think I saw in something that prostitutes who turn up late or whatever, they get fined.
Oh, yeah, okay. I mean, I'm sure you could, within the context of an employment contract with someone, you could potentially be, you could have pay docked for various things perhaps, but even that's borderline, I would think. But certainly a company with which you are just entering into a normal transaction with can't enforce fines.
And they didn't deliver. They broke the contract first. They didn't give her the thing she paid them for.
Oh, I'm sure that wasn't. That was probably part of the contract also stipulated they didn't have to.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, well.
They broke the contract. I mean, the contract didn't start. Anyway.
Yeah, it's very, very strange.
And they've shut up shop because people lost their ever loving shit at these scumbags, as rightly they should.
Yep.
This Walking Dead episode, season 4. Wow, season 4 already.
Don't spoil it for me. Don't spoil it for me.
Episode 6. No spoilers. I didn't actually know that. Almost Human had started. That's the one with New Zealander from The Price of Milk and Carl Urban.
Oh, right, yes.
In it. Almost Human. We could do a...
What's your auntie been talking about?
But I haven't seen it.